Welcome to PR Talk, sponsored by the PRSA of Oregon and part of the MPN, the Marketing Podcast Network. This is your host, Amy Rosenberg, founder of Veracity and author of A Modern Guide to Public Relations. Help other people find our podcast by subscribing, rating, giving us a review, or sharing on social media. Hi, everybody. I have Joseph Jaffe here. Hi, Joseph.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining. So I'm sure a lot of people know who you are, but just in case, you are a serial entrepreneur and author and recently founded the Alpha Collective for members to understand the business of Web3. So today we're going to dive into Web3 and NFTs and why marketers actually need to care about this. So just kick us off with what the heck is Web3 and NFTs?
So, you know, one of the best ways to even think about Web3 is to go back, you know, go backwards mm-hmm. in order to move forward.
Okay.
And so Web3 is not Web2. So what is Web2? Well, maybe we should go back again and talk about Web1.
Okay.
So Web1, they called the read only, right? It was all about read. It was about being able to, it was the digitization of our lives. It was the ability for us to take our catalogs and put them online. Not the best thing to do, but that's what a lot of brands did. The beginnings of content strategy, the beginnings of video, but it certainly was the ability now to digitize the world. Web 2, known also as the read-write web, that it wasn't just about reading only, it was about, you know, the rise of citizen journalism, the rise of consumer-generated content, the rise of social media, the rise of blogging. So even if you think about interesting common threads with respect to content, with respect to, we'll get there, commerce and monetization, Web3, I'm calling now read, write, reward, that for the first time we actually have a business model, we actually have the ability to monetize creators, content creators. And one of the key elements of this Web3 environment is this idea of shared ownership and therefore shared reward. And another way, and of course, within Web3, there's like creator economy and creator coins and NFTs and blockchain and cryptocurrency and the metaverse. So all of that kind of folds under Web3. There's one other very interesting, that I'm trying to do lots of these continuums, right? Like Web1 was about celebrities, Web2 influencers, Web3 about builders. That's another framework that I've been working on as well. But I think one of the most interesting ones to think about as well, and this we won't even talk about Web1, Web2 as much, but if you think about even if you think about PR, right? If you think about communications in general, we went from one to many, which is spray and pray, the shotgun approach, command and control. I mean, mainstream, mass marketing, mass media, if you will, to 1-to-1, which is the dawn of CRM and relationship marketing, to 1-from-1, which is search, which I still think is maybe the most revolutionary, probably the most revolutionary introduction and change, disruption to marketing in our lifetimes until now. So that was 1-from-1, pull versus push, the fact that consumers were actually part of the equation, to then what I called the many-to-many model. This was about, I wrote this when I wrote Join the Conversation, the many-to-many, where the brand is not in the middle, nor is the consumer. The brand is not initiating. The brand is not alpha. The brand is not omega. The brand is just in the conversation, as are all of us. But now what I'm starting to talk about is what I'm calling the sum to sum model. Not many to many, but sum to sum. Because when you go into a Discord, when you go into or become part of an NFT collection or part of a DAO, it's not for everyone. So, I mean, I think that's a very interesting concept, which is I believe in some respects Web2 is the enemy, or at least pushing off against Web2. Because in Web2, it was like, hey, everything's free. Everyone can do this, but nobody gets paid. Everyone can be a blogger. Everyone can be a podcaster, but no one gets paid. But it's very different now in Web3. So when you put all of that together strategically, you see something really interesting happening within Web3. And I always say to marketers, everything begins and ends with strategy, number one. Number two, don't look at the finger, look at where it's pointing. Understand what this means for business, for brands, for communication, and where it's all heading. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop there, but I think that kind of puts a good framing into this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Definitely. Yeah. And I love what you were saying that web, and I'll probably get this wrong, but Web3 is for builders. And in a way, you could think of content creators as builders. And so possibly, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but possibly, like you were saying, Web2, you know, we put our stuff out there as bloggers or whatever, and it's just free and it just lives there. But now, what's the difference with Web3 for people who are actually creating content? And by the way, when we look at Web3 right now, we hear about it in terms of like sports people or artists, like visual artists, not necessarily content like us. Now it's confusing because everybody's a content creator. What is content? Content is like visual art as well as what we do as marketers, which is, you know, boring content possibly, ideally not, but so what's the difference there and the ownership piece of that?
I mean, it's a fantastic question. And the thing is, are we all content creators or are we all creators? And what or who is a creator? You know, one of the things that a lot of people are struggling with is, you know, but I'm not an artist, I'm not a singer, I'm not a painter, I'm not a sculptor, therefore I'm not a creator. Well, I'm a showrunner and executive producer of a talk show called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. I most definitely am a creator. The question is, if someone's, you know, you, for example, are you a creator? I would say 1,000% you are, because you are creating original content. And I almost think the word content is redundant now. You're a creator. You're not a content creator. You're a creator. So there's that aspect. One of the things that makes this so interesting now is when you look at, again, at the NFT, mm-hmm. The thing about the NFT is, and of course it's, you know, this smart contract that powers the JPEG or the GIF or the piece of video. And what you realize is that's nothing more than just a storefront. It's just a superficial layer, but it is the smart contract, and connected to the smart contract is the secondary market, and connected to the secondary market is the royalty. And that is what's really powering this new economy. It's the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, if you want to take struggling out of the term struggling artist, what's happening now is for the first time, every single time that piece of art is sold and resold and resold, the originator is getting a commission, is getting some kind of royalty or residual. And it's all, you know, locked into and coded into the blockchain. And that's what makes this unbelievable, that you don't need policing and you don't need there's no self-service or regulation or self-regulation. It's just baked into the model. And so, like, one of the things I know we'll talk about it with the Alpha Collective is I don't need to tell people that they can have a money-back guarantee, even though I'm that confident about it, because there's a secondary market that actually says
they can sell their membership.
Yeah, if you don't like it, sell it. But then there's another part of it as well that says, oh, you can actually make money on this. So mm-hmm. forget about the utility. Forget about the fact that you're actually going to be getting access to myself and the other founders and 52 Alpha Talk speakers and networking and IRL events and yada, yada, yada. But the fact is, and obviously it's always a calculated move in this crazy volatile world of crypto, but when the price of ETH rises, so does the value of your membership pass. When the floor rises, so does the value of your membership pass. Of course, the exact opposite is true as well. It could decrease and decline. However, if the value, it doesn't matter even if ETH goes to zero and even if the floor goes to zero, if the value that you're getting from this community and the utility is worth the price and then some. So I think that's what excites me about this, is that you actually have this business model baked in that actually says you don't even need to worry about the titles and semantics. I mean, Joe Polizzi calls the word, he doesn't like the creator economy. He calls this content entrepreneurship. So we're content entrepreneurs. So that's an interesting thing, way to think about it. The thing we do, that you do, that I do, that it can actually be monetized and scaled in a very much an entrepreneurial way using crypto.
So let me just kind of break this down just to make sure we're understanding, or I'm understanding. So if you look at what I have now, and I have my own things, whatever it is, a PR talk, or I've got my book, right? Well, I don't want to talk about the book because that's a whole different thing with publishing. But so let's just look at PR talk. And I just want to say for people, if you have something like a blog or whatever that you're creating for a company and not yourself, like not your own company, your company has this thing, right? They have this entity, which is a blog. And so currently, wherever the blog lives, it's not yours, is kind of the thing, I think. So it's like living on something, like whatever. Like if you do some videos, it's living on YouTube. Does that mean it's yours? You could monetize something, I think. I don't know. But no, you don't physically own it. So you take it over to Web3 and then you put it with the NFT. I have no idea what that is, like the connection with the NFTs, whatever. Put it over to Web3, then you physically own it. And so to me, that is the difference between self-publishing a book or publishing a book through a rep, like a publisher. And we can kind of talk about the differences there. But am I getting this or not? Because I could be totally off.
Well, the thing that's interesting about it is I'll answer it in a different way, which is think about, so I think most people buy into the fact that you should never build a house on rented land.
Okay.
And so when we think about Web2, Web2 was filled with rentals, with, you know, the Facebooks and quite frankly, the YouTubes. I mean, I have my show on YouTube. It is my primary source. If something happened, I don't think anything will happen to YouTube tomorrow. And I've got an archive second to none on YouTube. But the files still live on my computer, but we'll get back to that, and we can get back to that in a moment. But that was the centralized rental ecosystem of Web2, where you were absolutely held hostage to these platforms. And I use that word hostage because I'm seeing it now as a content creator, that my feeds are all suppressed and buried. Unless I do, of course, which is how do you open the tap? You pay to open the tap through paid social and through promoting your posts, etc. So the real question comes down to how do you build a relationship? How do you build a direct to consumer, direct to viewer, direct to reader relationship? Now, in the real world, IRL, I'm not even talking about media. I'm talking about look at what's happened with the whole DTC space. That, you know, the Dollar Shaves and, you know, and the Quips, etc., all these direct to consumer brands that are disintermediating the consumer packaged goods companies, and because they're just bypassing the middleman, so to speak. I'm doing lots of air quotes. And so how do you build a relationship with your consumer? Well, one of the ways you do that you know, is email. It's like the, you know, it's very Web1, right? Which is your website. You own the domain and you build content and archives and a repository and a whole series of messaging through your website. That still is supreme, but yet forgotten. The other one is email, which again, supreme and yet forgotten. The rest of the stuff as it stands is very Web2. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, quite frankly, Discord. I mean, Discord is the primary mechanism of communication, that and Twitter, but specifically Discord in Web3. But it's still, Discord is not a Web3 phenomenon, not even close. Now, what is an NFT.
Okay, so and NFT, what is that?
So, well, the NFT, as long as you own it, you move with it, you share in the ownership, you share in the spoils, you know, but the NFT allows you access to whatever the mechanism is, whether it is a premium community, which is what the Alpha Collective is, the NFT gets you in. You sell the NFT, you're out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't get into Discord anymore because you don't own the NFT. You arrive at an IRL party that we'll be putting on, or a meetup or drinks. You know, you don't have, it's not about, you know, let me check if your name is on the list. It's just flash your NFT and it is ultimately validated. You know, so mm-hmm. you either own it or you don't own it. And mm-hmm. and so that gets you into the party. So in a way, this is the one ring to rule them all, to use Lord of the Rings. The NFT governs everything now and moves, you know, and depending on where the action is, it all basically kind of moves with the NFT, as opposed to, you know, going and building all of this equity in one platform only to say, well, what do we do now? We're locked in here. We're the barrier to exit is so high that we have no choice but to stay here and stick around. So, like, why is Mark Zuckerberg, you know, did he announce that NFTs are coming to Instagram? Because it's the only way to keep it relevant. It's mm-hmm. the only way to make sure that there is some monetizable mechanism there for creators. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening. The flex that's happening from creators and others saying we want to be paid for our time and for our money.
Okay, so let me ask you kind of two questions that are the same in a way, but from different viewpoints. So from the creator viewpoint, what as a creator would I sell or put, whatever the phrase is, as an NFT if I don't have a collective for members? Do I have to create some kind of group or collective to have a viable NFT available to sell?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, so you can, if you're an artist, you can, in fact, you could right now decide to NFT this episode. And you know, and obviously a screenshot or whatever your thumbnail would be the actual image. And that could be essentially what's called open edition, meaning that as many people that want to buy it can buy it. It's not like there's limited quantity. And maybe the rights and the utility from holding that is that they own the content, that they can use, reuse. I'm just like literally thinking of, you know, thinking out loud here. The content, they can remix it if they wanted to, because now they have ownership of that content. This is just audio, but it could be video as well. But you don't need anything else. I mean, the question is, again, think of PR, right? Think of external comms or even internal comms. How do you get the word out? How do you get the word out? Whether it's primary or proprietary, or whether it's secondary, or whether it's shared, or whether it's, you know, the earned and the owned components. How do you let people know that you even exist? If you're an artist right now, you can put your art on OpenSea. You can create an NFT. It's all built into the system as well. The thing that we haven't discussed up until now, which is the magic word, is community. Mm-hmm. And going
before
and,
we get to yeah. that, I just have to say, if I were to sell, as a daughter of a lawyer, I'll just say, if I was to sell this episode right now, would, if somebody could remix it, would I need to get you to sign off on that before I did that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's
so
still permission.
Yeah.
I mean, permissions are still important. I mean, that's the whole point. The whole point here is that we are actually democratizing control and democratizing the content. That, you know, if you look at so many of these NFT collections, they're saying you own, not only do you actually own this file, but we're going to give you all of the, we're going to give you the file and all the graphic elements, and you can download the high res and the Blender file. And this is yours. You want to go ahead and create and sell t-shirts? Go for it. You want to create 3D models and sell them? Go for it. You own it. Your character is, you know, obviously if you determine that all the rights are theirs, your character wants to be featured in a movie. Fine. And not only does that permission sit with you, but you can actually make money from it. It depends on what level of ownership the originators of the project determine to give. And that also can impact the value as well. But yeah, I mean, basic permissions as well. If I say, sure, go for it.
It's yours. I just want to clarify. And then for a company, so if I'm looking at it with a company mindset, like I have a company and I might be not, I mean, I not like we have a PR firm or something like that. I'm saying like for in-house people who let's say they work at a corporation, what could they help their corporations do on Web3 or in the NFT sphere?
There's obviously there's so much that can be done. So I'll take you back to 2010 when I wrote Flip the Funnel. I actually predicted then, and I came up with a whole concept that I called universal currency. And my prediction was that every brand would have universal, its own branded currency. And with currency, you can buy it, sell it, trade it, gift it, hold it, exchange it, redeem it. And for the most part, this currency would be used to fuel loyalty. And so like I gave examples like, I gave the example of Nike would have a swoosh, that would be their currency, and Coca-Cola would have a ribbon. And you would use this to be able to redeem for priceless experiences, or, you know, maybe even to, you know, get into the store 10 minutes before the general public, or get, you know, or get discounts, or whatever the case may be. Now, I had no idea that this would come true, but at a individual creator level. So I have my own creator coin. I have my own cryptocurrency called the Jaffe coin. That's part of an initiative called rally.io. I've had it for over a year, and I heard another creator actually say this the other day, which is how many people are there in the world that have had their own cryptocurrency for more than 1 year? You're probably in 1% of 1% of 1% of 1%. But I've had my own currency. I can use this currency right now to trade, to build an ecosystem, to reward. People can redeem Jaffe coin, or even by holding Jaffe coin, they can actually get access to me, my show, get walk-on roles, become a guest on my show. But let's go back to what you asked about brands now. With this NFT externally, you now can do all of those things. You now can, and then there's something else in the space called a POAP, which is proof of attendance protocol. Every time you go into the store, it's like a ticket stub. You go to a Broadway show, you go to a concert. Instead of keeping the stub, you know, you leave it in your jacket, it goes into the washing machine, it falls out your pocket, whatever, the dog eats it. Now, all of your attendance, all of the times you showed up, all of the times you actually paid for something, that's all collected centrally, and you can do things with that. So imagine all the different ways now that a company can interact with and reward and engage with their consumer base, their loyalists, their advocates, etc., with this, you know. And I'm using this in the most deprecating way, because everyone says, I don't get it. I could just right-click the JPEG and guess what? I've just duplicated your NFT. No, you haven't, because of the smart contract. So think about that for loyalty. I'll give you one example as well internally that just is blowing my mind at the moment. I just love this one. Can you imagine if a company, not even can you imagine, it's going to be done. It's probably being done already, where companies actually NFT personal days off, or actually vacation days. So all of your vacation days as
Wait,
an employee.
So I just have to like interject so that I can just like dumb it down for myself. So I can sell my day off? Is that kind of
well,
what you're saying?
Well, you're already one step ahead now, because imagine if a day off to you is not as valuable to someone maybe that wants a bit of extra days, who just became a parent for the first time. They can buy that day off from you directly. Mm-hmm. You don't need permission from your supervisor, from HR, but it's all on the blockchain. And where it gets really interesting is it can be auctioned off. You can put a price on it. There's a floor. So different companies will value their days off differently. So why not?
And when if you don't know, that's fine. But do you know what companies are doing this?
No, I don't.
It just sounds so hard to manage. But
it's easy to manage. That's the point, because it's you don't even need anyone to manage it. It's
I just mean like manage your company in that way. So like, oh, okay, I need you to do this on Friday, but I didn't realize you were selling your time to somebody else. So,
well, you can't, but again, clearly what you would do is if you're taking time off, and this is the thing that I think is so important for people. I have a very simple 2x2 matrix that I apply to almost every single, you know, new media, new platform, or just life, like when it comes to strategic marketing or consulting. So, this is it, the matrix: old, new, best, worst. That's it. So what you want to do is you want to eliminate the worst of the old, the stuff that we're holding onto that doesn't work anymore. But we want to keep the best of the old. This is like everything from just, you know, common sense and decency and empathy and, you know, and loyalty and the golden rule and everything that's worked and will work for the rest of time, right? But you want to embrace the best of the new, but also not get distracted by the worst of the new. So there's a lot of stuff that's just distraction and ridiculousness. And that's the problem, is many people at a corporate level, they're holding on to the past and they're afraid and they know that they need to unlearn. And so the gift to them is, wait a second, no one said old is bad, new is good. To the contrary, a lot of the old is great and a lot of the new is terrible. But it's the art in being able to discern, you know, what fits into which buckets or which fits into what buckets. And so going back to even your example, you don't want to just not show up to work. You'll get fired. So no one is replacing common sense by being able to still go and get permission to take leave if you have a boss, right? But the difference is in terms of how many sick days you have or how many, you know, vacation days you have, or even being able to, why would your boss care if you took 3 extra days if you get your work done? Mm-hmm. I mean, what your boss is going to care about is, wait a second, why are you taking 3 days that you don't have? But instead of them having to email HR or log into something, it's just all available, quite frankly, publicly on the blockchain.
Okay.
So these are just some of the ways to think about it.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. So I just want to back up so people can kind of visualize this or understand this. So when you're talking about your coin, you're on Rally, and it's, people can go to rally.io and check it out and look and see what people are doing on there. And it's not all, you know, visual artists and
it's content creators, it's showrunners, it's bands, but it's also marketers as well. I'll tell you that one of the things that I'm in the process of doing is releasing a very extensive hold economy offering to my community. And what that means, and I'll just kind of plant it there, and if you want to explore, we can, but because I don't want your head to hurt, because trust me, my head hurts with this.
It's already hurting, so.
and I just want to say something which is important for people to understand, that in February of 2021, I had heard of Bitcoin. That's it. I hadn't even heard of the term Web3, Metaverse, Ethereum, blockchain. I'd heard of blockchain. I'd done some projects for a consultant on blockchain, but this was more of just, you know, understanding the idea of immutable and incorruptible ledgers, et cetera. But I hadn't heard of this stuff. I am now what's known as like an OG in the space, because in Web3, 1 month is like a year in Web2, and one year in Web2 was like, I don't know, 5 years in what came before. So the learning curve is huge and steep, and we make mistakes all the time. And I've always said that anybody that tells you that they've figured it out and have all the answers is either lying or a fool or both. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing that I just want to plant. The hold economy says, buy Jaffe coin, but you don't have to send it to me. You just have to hold the coin. And by holding the coin, you get access to my Discord. You get access to an after show. You get access to maybe a monthly call with me, only for coin holders that have 10 coin. You get access to free Jaffe that I can drop for anyone that has a certain amount of Jaffe coin. And what I'm going to start to do is actually create holds that have the dollar equivalent in the tens of thousands of dollars. Meaning, for example, if you want a walk-on role on the show, or if you want to actually be a guest on the show, or if you want me to create an entire show for your company, you can do that. You can get that without actually sending me one penny. And I'm the happiest person in the world because you own my coin. When you buy my coin, the price of the coin goes up. Everyone in the community benefits because the price is going up. There's a whole reward system built into it, which I won't even get into now. And, you know, could you just sell it the next day? Of course you could. But why would you? Because you just got value. And if you can continue to get value, then why would you sell it? You'd never sell it. You in fact, you know, you'd say I'd sooner cash in my IRA than selling this coin because of the value that I'm getting for it. So this is one of the most fundamental changes now. And trust me, if companies were struggling with all of this, they're going to really battle with that idea that says, wait a second, but they have to pay me customers, they have to actually pay us money. Otherwise, how do we make a living? How do we hit our quarterly earnings? It's like, well, wait a second. They don't have to pay you with their money. They can, first of all, pay you with their time. I mean, that's called the media model as well. But there are other ways that they can benefit. And so that's why I think, you know, if I had to make a very safe bet, it would be that you are going to see brand tokens become the new norm. And every single company is going to have their own currency. And that currency will be like, for the marketers that are listening, the Shangri-La, everything that people have been chasing, which is this idea of a universal customer ID, that everything is unified and governed and managed and optimized through one single source or point of contact. That's going to be this token. Or okay. An NFT and or an NFT.
Okay. I'm literally taking notes just for myself. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I'm like writing this down on a scratch paper. It's like, oh, where should I keep this? I don't know. No, this is fascinating.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
So speaking of your show, I just want to talk to you about how, you know, what happened during when the pandemic hit. And you've mentioned before that you somewhat reinvented yourself through the show. Can you talk about your show and what it all means to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thank you for giving me the opportunity. I mean, it's kind of crazy because, you know, before the pandemic, five-time author, public speaker, keynote speaker, spoken in 50 countries, strategic consultant, you know, all the yada yadas of like so many people like me, living out of a suitcase, traveling, you know, workshopping, etc. The pandemic hits, everything is gone. And I mean, I won't go into the details because there isn't as much time as we'd need, but I basically pivoted. I started off by saying, let me just do I'm bored, I'm lonely, I'm a little nervous, a little scared. Let me just do a daily stream on Facebook at the time and just say, hey, everyone, what's going on? Oh, look, you know, it's my brother in South Africa and it's this person in London and whatever. And long story short, from a daily stream on Facebook to using Zoom to finding a piece of software called StreamYard to actually interviewing my sister, who is pivoting herself. She has a cycling studio in London, and to saying, hey, why don't you just come on my show, you know, to the birth of Corona TV, which I named the show, like Poke the Bear. Why not create a TV show around this weird, crazy time we're living in? No one even knew how long it would last. To then rebranding it, and the show is now called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. And the next thing I knew, I was a talk show host. And now I'm into my third season, if you will. I've had just under 360 guests on the show. And this is my calling. This is my purpose. This is what I was put on this planet to do. And I'm not going to stop until I get to the top, whatever that means, which is, doesn't mean, you know, CNN or CNN Plus or CNBC or Cheddar or Apple TV Plus. I know that I'm going to eventually need a home and look for a home. But I don't see any reason why I shouldn't continue to just, you know, deliver this the way I am, which is from a MacBook Pro with a Rodecaster mixing board from my home office. It's a better way to live. I don't think I'm done speaking, at least not, you know, like, I mean, if I do it, it's going to be few and far between. I don't like the flying anymore, and I don't like being stranded on a tarmac, and I don't like living out of a suitcase or hanging out in a hotel and making conversation with, you know, people in the bar downstairs, which I actually never do anyway. But I don't like that lifestyle anymore. And I think I'm done consulting too. So the show has been a reinvention, and I've got Baratunde Thurston on my show today. It's just been a joy. Now I have NFT Fridays. I have NFT founders talking about their collections and their vision on the show once a week. And I just continue to experiment and test and learn and take risks and be creative. I sing on the show. I'll do karaoke. I'm up for any challenge. And now just thinking about how the show will build and integrate into everything I do, including the Alpha Collective. So becoming a talk show host for me was finding my purpose, what I was meant to do. The irony, of course, and it's not even an irony, is sometimes we need adversity. We need to be pushed. We need, you know, we need something to shock us, shock the system, or force us out of our comfort zone in order to awake, be fully present, and realize that we can actually love what we do and make money from it. By the way, haven't really made money from it yet, but I know that it's not an if, it's a when. One thing I'll say to people as well that are thinking about this is there are two points. One is it is just not true that you can only do one thing anymore. You know, when we look now at even at multi-hyphenate people, when we look at the concept of the side hustle, if a company wants to hold on to its employees, it's going to have to not only tolerate, but even embrace them having their own NFT collection, having their own life outside of the company, but that they still do during company hours. So think about that. You know, it's like, it's not just I have a life outside the company. It's the fact that, you know, if we've learned anything from the space, it's that we are going to continue to operate virtually and hybrid and remotely. And if you expect me to do my work or your work on my hours, then I'm going to do my love and passion and side hustle on your hours. And instead of being so arbitrary and contrived about 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, home versus work, we're going to have to be a lot more dynamic and a lot more progressive. And so that's a fun time. It's a fun thing to think about.
Oh, yeah. We take our yoga breaks at Veracity when we want, because some of those virtual classes are at 9 a.m., you know, but we've worked a couple hours before and work a little later. I mean, and it all doesn't have to be even 40 hours a week, I'll just say.
So think about for a second how crazy this is. You know, my book was published 2019. I was on the whole, how many books am I going to publish in my life? So 2019, 2020 arrives and COVID, I end up starting a show called Corona TV. And then in 2021, my life changes again twice. One is I find out when I go for my physical that I need open heart surgery, which I had. Ended up getting a secondary infection, another surgery, ended up back in the hospital another two times. So four hospital stays, two surgeries, including open heart surgery. Think about like at the age of 51, well, 50 at the time, that happens, which rocks my whole life. Mm-hmm. And also I end up getting this, the Jaffe coin. And the Jaffe coin really became my fast track into the world of this whole NFT, metaverse, blockchain, you know, Web3 environment. So like, I mean, it's like most human beings don't go through this kind of trauma in their entire lives. I went through three kinds of, I don't want to call it trauma, but first of all, we all went through COVID, which is a shared trauma for sure. But then, you know, the medical and health related issue and this, you know, like somehow finding, you know, waking up and finding this gift, you know, that I could unwrap called the Jaffe coin, which has changed my life. And mm-hmm. so like, I think people just like these opportunities are all around us. I mean, as I often say, like, you know, but are we actually paying attention? Are we actually like, can we see things for not only what they are, but what they can become?
Yeah. And you talk about all of this on your show, which before we end, I want everybody to check that, like know how to check where to go to check that out. But I was digging because I was trying to figure out like how it all started during Corona. And I listened to your show 2 years ago that kicked off Passover season. And you did something with Passover. I mean, you called it a sermon. I don't know if I want to call it that, but you did a talk on Passover 2 years ago. So I'm wondering if you're going to do that again, because Passover starts, well, when I'm recording it, it starts in a couple of days. So hopefully we'll get to air this before Passover so people can know to check that out. And you do relate Passover to non Jews as well. So
yeah, well, I'll tell you what I I'm not going to do a special show on it, but the one thing that I am going to talk about around the Passover table, which actually came from Friday's show with Owen Valencia, who started an NFT collection called The Gratitude Gang, is that he said, first of all, he's the founder, he's getting a PhD in gratitude. There really is a thing. And he was talking about positive psychology, and he said, gratitude is the only state or slash emotion, the only one that has no negative polarity. It is all positive. And he said that the only thing that comes close is mindfulness in its fullest and complete state, which most people can never get to or realize or achieve. So that's the message that I'm going to share. Gratitude, right? When we talk about, you want a non-Jewish perspective? Sure. Thanksgiving, you know, being grateful. When we are thankful and when we are grateful and when we express gratitude for even the bad things that happen to us, you know, they said, is it happening to you or happening for you, or is it happening through you? Are you a vessel that actually can deliver, or a container that can deliver this? That's the message. So if you're talking about in a Passover sense, the exodus and reliving and saying, hey, we're grateful, we're not, you know, we're not kept in captivity or you know, anymore. Well, gratitude, I mean, are you just telling the story? Or are you actually grateful for that? And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and really what we're talking about is being, you know, living in the United States and not in Ukraine and Russia at the moment. I mean, I think we can be certainly grateful for our freedom that we take for granted. So, this came from a conversation on my talk show with an NFT founder. So isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can take it to everything. Line. Yeah. No, you can take it to everything. And I love that you actually talk about things around the Passover table instead of just kind of rotely go through the prayers. So we will maybe do that. So anyway, so how can people find your show and everything else that you're up to?
Well, the show, I mean, I'll give three key links. The show you can find at youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe is not famous. And there is also a link, which is bit.ly/ subscribe to the show. And that will just take you straight away to YouTube and you can subscribe. And I would be very, very appreciative for people that would do that. The Jaffe coin you can actually find at rally.io/creator/ Jaffe, or you could just search for JAFFE on rally.io. And, you know, I will say that I actually give away Jaffe coin every single day on my show. I use a QR code. And what's interesting about the drop, the two things that are interesting about the drop, one is that it's only live while the show is live. So I really am rewarding live tune-in, which I think is kind of an awesome thing to do. You know, it's like a fun thing to do, is to actually say, everyone says it's on demand and it's, you know, time shifting, and that's fine. But I want to reward people that are actually spending time with me while I'm doing it. And then the other thing is I gate them. So you have to own 10 coin to be able to get back like $1 every show, 0.1. And so in a way, I am recognizing and rewarding people that have already bought into this ecosystem. So that's the second one. And then we didn't talk too much about it, but amidst everything, putting principles into practice, I got together with a few partners in crime, and we formed the Alpha Collective, which is a premium community that helps its members really unlock the value and opportunities of the business of Web3. So we're very clear to say the business of Web3. So we're bringing together executives and entrepreneurs. So both founders of NFT collections, degens, crypto enthusiasts, and the corporate world. And there are only 1,000 memberships available, and they will go on sale in other words, we will start minting within the next 1 to 2 weeks from now. So by the time people are listening to this, whether it's the day of or a week or 2 weeks, I'm sure there'll be some available. There may not be, but there may be. And you can actually go to alphacollective.xyz. That's the website, alphacollective.xyz. And if you put in your email address, we're actually going to be giving away a pass, one pass every week as we start minting out. And we're actually selling the pass at 1 ETH. This is an interesting kind of approach. 1 ETH, which at the moment is about $3,000, or $5,000 fiat, which is credit card, basically. And so it's a little bit, you got to factor in the volatility, but we also wanted to make sure that corporate people that were like, hey, I want to be a part of this. I don't want brand FOMO. I don't want to make mistakes again. I don't want to be left behind. I want the education and the inspiration and the access, et cetera. But I'm not getting a wallet and getting rugged. And I'm like, there's no way my IT department is going to allow me to do all of that. Can I just give you a credit card? And so that's why we created two ways to do that. But we also built in the volatility of ETH. And we're actually offering people a little bit of an added benefit if they do come in the fiat, which is basically a 1 hour, maybe a 2 hour training program, like a Zoom, where we'll actually show them how to get started and how to really get into the space, how to set up a wallet, how to move things around, and most importantly, how to avoid getting scammed.
Mm. Okay. Well, that's exciting. We actually do PR for cybersecurity. So whenever you talk about scams, my ears perk up. But anyway, so I will let you go. I know you have a TV show to prepare for. So we'll all check that out. And we really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it even more. And it's, you know, it's great to talk. It's great to talk about this because, you know, I think it's fascinating. I say two things, and I'll just say final thought is that I've spent my whole life, you know, witnessing the change and sometimes predicting it, but always looking back going, hey, why didn't I buy, you know, Google when I when I could have, you know, when I, and this is the first time that I'm like in it at the moment and I recognize it for what it is and what it can become. Oftentimes we have no idea how big something is going to be or how transformational it's going to be. But this time I'm like awake in it and I'm, you know, and I can experience it and feel it and take advantage of it. And the second point, and this is the most important point for people that are listening, it is not too late. It is not even close. We are literally in the first inning of a 9-inning and maybe extra inning World Series, you know, and we're in the first inning of the first game of the World Series. It is so early. And so, you know, people that are feeling never ever feel FOMO again, anxiety. Every time that you have brand FOMO or any FOMO, it is generally a bad thing. So just calm down, slow down, take a deep breath and know that there are tremendous resources and that time is not against you. It is on your side.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thanks for listening. For more PR insight, be sure to check out Amy's book, A Modern Guide to Public Relations, at prtalk.co. Also, please subscribe, rate, or leave us a review.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.